The Everything Apartments podcast is provided with support from the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles, better known as AGLA, serving residential landlords throughout Southern California through education and advocacy. Visit aagla.org. Welcome to the Everything Apartments podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christopher. And on this podcast, we cover all topics of multifamily investments, from buying and financing properties, day-to-day operations and management, and also reinvestment strategies. So as I planned for this episode and this guest, I got excited because with apartment ownership, we sometimes overlook what kind of potential our properties can have. You know, we may get a little bit lulled to sleep as we assume a more or less linear income stream from unit rents, maybe some parking, laundry. Yeah, there's a couple others. I've heard buildings that have cell phone satellite dishes or transmitters on top and then, you know, billboards. So there's some off the rail stuff that happens. But, you know, we, like any other type of business, always need to try to identify mechanisms to increase revenue, net income, and in doing so, increase the value of our business, or in this case, our property's value. Today, we're going to explore one of these potential revenue builders in the way of micro storage units that will offer your tenants a much needed amenity and generate more net income to your bottom line. But first, I'll tell you about our firm, WSC Realty Advisors and WSC Property Management. WSC has been helping buyers and sellers and managing properties in Long Beach for over 16 years. If you're tired of managing your units or just not getting the results you want, we can help. WSC never wants to be the biggest firm in Long Beach. Instead, we stay smaller and more agile to bring the quality you need. We can also help you if you're looking to acquire more units here or maybe an out-of-state scenario, single tenant net leased or out-of-state apartments, which a lot of people are taking a look at these days. Visit wsc-pm.com. Call, text, or email us. All that information is in the show notes. And mention the Everything Apartments podcast. Get your first 2 months of management absolutely free. Whatever your challenge with your property, WSC has a solution. Now let's talk about how you can increase your net income. Today we have back with us Christian Sane. Christian is the Executive Vice President and National Practice Co-Leader for Valuation of Self-Storage Properties at a large national commercial real estate firm. His team of 20 people does appraisals on some 500 facilities per year. I mean, he's literally spent the last 20 years analyzing this product all over the country. And in 2012, he literally wrote the book on the topic with self-storage economics and appraisal. Christian also co-founded and successfully managed a self-storage investment fund, surpassing $100 million in 31 self-storage facilities across a number of states. If you scroll back to episode 2, Christian was our guest, and we talked about self-storage as a great candidate for apartment owners to do a 1031 exchange if they wanted to kind of get out of the day-to-day management of apartments. Really nice transition. Really nice asset class if you can find it. So if you haven't listened to episode 2, I would highly recommend it. But today we'll talk about a niche that Christian has identified for that can help apartment owners. This year he launched his firm Self Storage Economics, specializing in micro storage spaces, which we'll definitely get to in a minute. Christian will show you how his firm can help you increase your net income. Christian, welcome back, and really glad to have you on to talk about this exciting opportunity.
Thanks, Eric. Good to be here.
So Christian, as we've seen and spoke about in episode 2, you've been in the self-storage industry for many years, working with traditional storage facilities. When or how did you identify this niche of micro storage, and how can it help apartment owners?
Micro storage is a great opportunity to build out smaller storage facilities in existing properties, primarily in apartments. For example, the average unit size of a storage unit is about 25 square feet. We might only build out 10 or even 20 total units. And the way it works is a collaboration with apartment owners so that we share in the revenue with the apartment owners by contract. We come in and we'll build out the storage units. We manage them. It's all remote managed online. We have online presence, social media, et cetera, to make it known. But the primary tenants really come from the tenancy of the apartment building. So it's an amenity for the apartment tenants, and it's an opportunity to store part things, skis, seasonal recreational items, household items, decorations, that kind of thing. And what's unique about micro storage is a typical self-storage facility of, say, 500 units or something on a large 5-acre site. This is much more of instead of a battleship mentality, it's sort of a strategic plan to be in neighborhoods or for apartment owners to identify the number of facilities they have. It can be built in basements. It can be built in roof rooftops. It could be built in parking areas. It can be built in maybe some area between a parking area that's just sort of unused, has poor utility, areas for older buildings maybe that have laundry lines, you know, that they used to use to hang up laundry. You know, some of those areas that aren't really generating revenue. We do all the build out and it creates net operating income increases to the apartment owner.
If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, I'd encourage you to go to the YouTube version, which is in the emails that I send out inviting you to listen. So the flyer here, the marketing advertisement for self-storage economics is on the screen. All right, Christian, take us through this. And I'm sure people that are watching this can look at the pictures on the left and say, oh, wow, I've got unused space, basements, large storage units, or large storage rooms that are just full of junk. And then maybe you'll tell me also you can go ground up in an outdoors scenario. So take me through this a little bit from the top.
Yeah, it's precisely as you said, there's some unused space or it's used for storage or maintenance areas or something that could be monetized. We come in and do the build out of storage units, as you see on the right, and run the facility. We do all the expenditures, the CapEx, and share simply in the revenue with the apartment owners. So it's kind of that simple. And we have great variability in where we're able to do, great flexibility in spaces that we can build in. We can build around, you know, HVAC, pipe, other things. We can build, do a ground up structure outside. These are sort of, you know, mostly it's inside out building. In other words, there's a structure and we build the units inside. We manage everything and there's always a number to call if there's any challenges, maintenance. But really, it becomes a nice amenity. You know, the security issues also for us, we manage all that. And because it's an electronic platform, things like the doors are also used with a no key system, such as fingerprinting and other amenities that make it very simple for us to track and watch the facility. So it's a very beneficial win-win kind of situation without any CapEx to our apartment partners.
Just for a second, like, take a step or two back and go, okay, so I heard you say these are 25 square feet, so 5 by 5, I'm assuming.
Yep.
And then how tall, what's the overhead capacity look like?
That's flexible and variable as well. We can go 6 feet, 8 feet. Folks, of course, like the 8 feet, put in skis, surfboards, things like that. And it depends. Some people like to have smaller locker units. Maybe folks are a sales rep and have product. They might only need a small locker that it can be as small as, say, 2 by 2. So you can kind of build out the design according to the demographic. And I kind of like to mention something about that. About 1 in 10 households typically uses self-storage. We see that rate increase a little bit when it's an amenity for an apartment user. So most of the customers are going to come directly from the apartment. But we also do a real drill down analysis using 4 of our analytic models to determine what the supply and demand metrics are to see if there's actually demand. So in other words, we're really not trying to capture folks from outside the building so that makes folks feel a little bit more secure about who's there, who's coming on, and it makes access issues very easy for the tenants that may already have security implemented for their access to their apartment.
You're already inside of the envelope of the building and then the access is, you know, I keep thinking with these things, the smaller, the more dense environment the units are, probably the more valuable this would be. Visioning some of the buildings I sold in the past that are like built in the 20s or 30s, kind of brickers, 2 or 3 story brickers with all studios. And, you know, if you're talking about a 350 to 380 square foot base, where do you put your Christmas decorations and your bike and your ski? So I can only imagine the higher density of the property, the more valuable this could be to tenants.
Absolutely. We find greater demand in the higher density, you know, where you're going to get maybe a better metric than the 1 in 10 units. And it's kind of nice because we can collaborate with the owner to say we can do door hanging or we can do something online or whatever kind of tenant messaging system they may have. We're saying, here's another amenity available to you. And, you know, the nice thing is they can rent the unit online. You know, today, half the customers are going to rent a storage unit online. Those are the folks that don't want to talk to a human being. So you don't need any on-site management or any of that. So it's all done electronically. We're able to share month partners so that they can see exactly what revenue we're getting and what their share may be.
So let me scroll down this brochure that you provided me here. Let's kind of touch on some of those a little more. So basically, you mentioned it's a turnkey solution. And that'll appeal to a lot of owners. What we'll get to in a minute is, what would you say to the owner that says, well, I'll just build these out myself? But the first thing, what I heard you say is no CapEx from the owner, really not a whole lot of brain damage for them to initiate the process. So kind of looking at this little table here. So what what your firm does, and then what the owner can expect out of it. Take me down this.
Right. So really, it is truly turnkey, as you mentioned, Eric. I think, you know, we're going to do all the CapEx to build it out. We're going to manage it. We're going to get it occupied, do all the income, the administrative work, the accounting. You know, one important point to make is we have yet to see a barrier on zoning. Doesn't require zoning approval because apartments generally allow storage. And we have not yet come to a barrier because we're not doing structural build. Permitting is not required. So it's something we agree to. We can come in, build out the area that is available. That's a very easy convenience that doesn't require delays or governmental fiat or interference to the process. And it's pretty quick. I mean, you know, you can build these out very quickly, generally in 60 days or less, depending on supply chain. But, you know, we try to warehouse some of that to reduce the time. And then they tend to lease up pretty quickly within another 30 to 90 days, depending on the size of how many units we have, because most folks are kind of eager to use it. And the nice thing for, you know, one of the metrics we look at is what we call the cost of occupancy, which is how much, you know, are people willing to spend on a storage unit? Well, you know, most of these at 25 square feet, it's going to be about $75 a month. And so people kind of more willing to be able to clean up their apartment, have those things stored. We're not talking about a lot of money here. What's beneficial is scale, you know, especially those that have quite a bit of income associated with more units. The ability to build out more units is more beneficial depending on the size of the apartment or to have many more locations. But in general, the way it works is, you know, let's say we're going to charge, for example, just for easy math, $3 a square foot to the customer. So $75 a month. We're going to give about 25 to a third of that, depending on how many units we have and how the agreement works. And these are agreements. We don't do a lease. We'll do an agreement, a contract. And also the customers have contracts. These aren't leases. So we have the ability to raise or lower rents any month we would like. No rent control. And if they, you know, if the customer doesn't pay, well, you have the same auction abilities as a traditional self-storage. So, you know, that's a big incentive. In other words, collection loss is generally not a problem. And if it is, you have a system. We have systems in place in order to rectify it. Maybe it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but you start thinking about if you're getting, you know, call it $25 a month times 10 units, maybe it's only $3,000, but 5 cap rate, you've increased your overall revenue. If we could do more, better, but that's a very simple example.
We'll get to the financial upside in a second, but I think first blush, I like it because just from my own travels, lots of the buildings that I manage have little small closets, and it might have been meant to be for an owner. Some of them use them, some of them don't. And each and every time I'll mention that small closet and say it's like 25 square feet or maybe even less, those tenants are so happy to pay for that space. So I firmly believe there'd be huge tenant attraction to this kind of stuff. We're now handling the fact that the owner doesn't have to put out any money or really any time to have it happen. You do a design for the space that you're looking at, because you mentioned, you know, there may be, like, I'm thinking of one building that I had that there was a bricker with all studios and down in the laundry, or there was a laundry and a boiler room down in the basement, which had quite a bit of unused space, but there were those HVAC assemblies plop kind of randomly across the space. So you're saying you can work around those items with the space design?
Absolutely. Yeah. If there's critical piping or other vents or systems in place, mechanical or otherwise, we're able to move around that. We don't have to build right next door, one to another. You know, we're able to put spacing in so there's adequate access if it's needed. And of course, everything's approved by the apartment owner. And they also often, or you, Eric, as a property management, often have really good ideas about, I think this kind of thing would work. So it's a collaborative process that's all approved, you know, on a CAD system by all parties to approve how you do the build out. You know, you can even stack smaller units, the 2x2 example, you can stack those too high, for example.
So lots of flexibility in the design. And then going back, I mean, not just is it a no capital outlay for the owner, no risk either. Right. I know it sounds kind of like hand in hand there, but there, you know, since really there's no time, the owner's not having to contact various vendors, put monies out on the street with hopes that this will be a viable economic model. There's really zero risk involved.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're the ones that are do the build out, put the CapEx out to do the build out, and essentially they're getting a check every month. It's the way it works.
You're handling the whole thing. For example, there could be a little maintenance or repair needed on some of these things. That's also handled by you all. The management side, the tenant relations, the rent collections, the rent increases, presumably it's all inside the box that you're providing these owners. So when we flip over to the right side stuff, we've kind of talked about it already, but there's what you can expect as an owner. But let's take a look at the next page of what you can expect, kind of backtrack a little. As you can all see here, you can kind of see the design and installation process being done. And then we kind of just talked about that with a CAD space plan that you can get if that's required, right? Some of them may be open areas where you may not need to go crazy on the design.
You can see there's some piping, and this is a basement example primarily. And you can see that, you know, there's still the way you build it out, but the height, all those things are accounted for in this space.
What kind of footprint do you need? I know the units are 25 square feet, 5x5 boxes, but obviously you'd have to have access to them as some sort of space burden. What do you budget as far as like a net space need, or I guess I should say gross space need for these units to exist?
Well, sometimes we can actually get the same net as gross if we stack, for example, because we're able to get a little bit more square footage. But in general, we estimate the gross to net is about a 15% reduction for a 4-foot hallway, which works very nicely, allows people to turn around with a box or stuff, and allows the doors to swing open where people could still get past. So 4 feet hallway, and then it really depends on the facility. I think the worst I've seen is about a 20%, and the best I've seen is about a 5% variance between gross to net loss.
You've got a like the basement I was talking about with piece of equipment here and here without really lining up in a along one wall or whatever, you may lose a little bit of capacity to accommodate for those intrusions, I suppose. And then if I understood you right, you're saying, hey, if we can stack them and it really there's the minimal burden that we can use that space probably at a higher level than the other.
Yeah. And we're also looking at areas, things like that, where maybe, you know, you can still use some spaces creatively. For example, if you have the ceiling height, you know, paddleboarding is so popular in areas like Long Beach, put in paddleboards and slots with the very small, it's open, but you can still have a lock on it, if you will, that still provides access maybe for areas that might need to be reviewed, you know, well, just in case we have a problem, we want to be able to get to this pipe or something. We've had some success with that as well.
With the experience you've had and just the design side of it, you'll build in the safeguards for access and whatnot. So, but yeah. Let's turn the page now. A modest size building, if you fit 20 of these units in and do the quick math on that, it's not a huge amount of space. And again, could be outside. I've seen a lot of buildings, the more modern, you know, 60s vintage buildings where you'll see a side yard or a back area where you go, wow, it sure looks like somebody wanted to put something here, but didn't. And it's, you know, most of the time, it's just kind of arbitrary wasted space. So again, folks listening to this or watching, sounds like you can do this outdoors as well.
Absolutely. We can build them removable. In other words, they don't need a foundation. We can flatten an area and they're built up so that it's actually removable. And just quickly, Eric, along those lines, you know, let's say for whatever reason, we have a 10-year contract agreement, but at any time, if the owner decides, hey, we want to do something else, put in a spa in this outdoor space or something for the, you know, our tenants, they're able to buy us out of the contract, which is all negotiated into the contract. So they still have the flexibility. Let's say after 3 years, they want to do something else. We take our stuff and clean it up and get out of there and we get paid for that. But that's all negotiated into the contract. So it provides flexibility if you change your mind down the road.
It's not like a laundry lease. Boy, I've got this one laundry vendor that's the biggest one out there and the hardest one to work with. And these laundry leases will be in place for like 20 years. So they'll survive like 2 or 3 ownership changes. They're still in there. So this sounds way more user-friendly if the owner wanted to change his mind or use the space for some other reason. Let's get to why you do this. Okay, so you got a 20-unit storage addition to your unused space. Owner didn't spend any money or any time to do it. I mean, the numbers are pretty linear, but take me through those a little bit for 20 units.
Yeah, so let's say you have 20 units and based on what we're charging, the commission is based on $20 commission.
The owner returns on the right. So yeah. Basically,
$20
I've got 20 units. Okay. So the owner can expect $20 a month per unit.
Yeah. So you get a $4,800 passive income, and at a typical cap rate, you know, you can create increase in value by $100,000. And again, this is just kind of found money.
Anytime you can do that, it seems like something to look at. And it looks like what you did here was you projected on like a 10-year timeline so that you could account for some rent increases if the owner's holding the building for a longer period.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, one of the nice things is self-storage is very resistant to inflation and recession. And, you know, right now, for example, in the sector, rent increase, I'm not sure what apartments are doing, Eric, but, you know, self-storage is holding pace or doing better than inflation. So you're talking about 8 to 10% rent increases on an annualized basis.
5 and 10 year projection, you're definitely going to have some rent increases in there, obviously not guided by rent control or anything like that. And I was just thinking as we're talking here, if you were to plan to sell a property in the next 12 to 24 months, for example, and you had the ability to put some of these guys in your unit, you would literally be able to increase the value of the property by having that there. Why not take, you know, if it's a year from now or whatever, 6 months, get in there, put these storage units in for the tenants, rent them out, and that value of your building is going to be higher. There's really no way around it using whatever the current market cap rate is. So it's not a bad exit strategy either.
Not at all. I mean, it's just a terrific opportunity to enhance revenue enhancement without really a lot of fuss. And I also want to say, you know, it's a popular concept. There are 18,000 of these units in New York City, for example.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So they perfected that on the East Coast.
Yep. It started kind of by accident about 20 years ago. Same kind of concept. Somebody had some apartment owner friends, and they were a little bit related to doing traditional self-storage. And so they were able to build this up. They've never really left the city because that's where they're domiciled and that's where they're comfortable. So we haven't really seen it in the rest of the country. But the opportunity is proof of concept now for over 15 years and with that 18,000 units.
A lot of owners may look at this and say, hey, great idea. Why don't I just build it out and manage the whole thing myself? I guess we've maybe covered some of the answers, but I'm sure you've heard that objection before.
Yeah, I have. And the answer is do what you're good at, stay in your lane, because, you know, it's not managing apartments. It's a different contract. There's different legal lien laws associated with the occupancy. The build out is different than, you know, apartments, you know, knowing the players, where to get supplies to do it efficiently and effectively. But it's the management, making sure you have the right contracts in place that have been well vetted and experienced, and the maintenance levels required. You know, it is a specialized niche sector, and it is a different, we get crossover investors, as you mentioned, that get into self-storage. It tends to be, as you said, maybe exiting from apartments, getting tired of dealing with tenants and prefer to deal with stuff, a way to do it, but it is a different way to manage. It's very different because self-storage is a little bit of a going concern. You know, you're dealing with short-term contracts, you know, a lot of turnover. And so you have to have an online presence, an online management system, and a social media presence in order to kind of keep everything rolling.
Learn more about this. If you have an apartment complex where you have interior space, it's unused, boiler room in the basement, or if you have exterior space being used, check into this because it's a turnkey solution, more passive income, a better return on your investment as you sell it from increased values. Christian, I appreciate you being here today. What I will do is I'll put your information in the show notes. Again, I encourage anybody that thinks this could fit their particular scenario, launch a call or an email to Christian. He's really great to talk to. And certainly, as you can see from his resume, knows a little bit about the self-storage product. So it's kind of an exciting thing here where we don't get a lot of chances to increase our revenue past the rental increases that we put through on our apartments. This looks like a way to do it. And Christian, I really appreciate you being here with us today.
Always great visiting with you, my friend, Eric. Thank you.
This has been the Everything Apartments podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christopher. Stay tuned for another episode coming soon.